This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. Coming out, riding old Dan, cutting back the error and the bushes and the briars, and spiritual things that clutter up the human heart to where we are blinded to God's Word, blinded to the truth, as it were. But I'm happy to be with you folks, and many of you have written me and told me how you appreciate these messages, and I wish you would. Help me with the broadcast if you can. That list of stations now is in our new magazine that we just sent out, The Voice of Truth. And if you don't get one, you write me and I'll put your name on our mailing list to get that magazine. No, we don't bombard you for money. We don't sell your name to anybody. No, we don't do those things. But if you'd like to have a listing of all of those stations to where you can send it to your friend across the country, and many of our old truckers are getting those. They carry them with them. They drive all through, two or three time zones in a day, from the East Coast to the West Coast over two or three days, and they can hear any of those stations. But listen, are we looking at that study on the faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews? Are we looking there at Moses, how the Lord gave him faith to believe God's word? And that's what he did. That's what he did, by faith, through the eye of faith. You see that before you see it with the eye of sense. You believe it. You just rest there. That's what Moses did. Faith must have a foundation to stand on. It's not just a little flimsy mystical faith. No, it must have a firm foundation. It must rest upon what? Can you tell me what faith rests upon after hearing these studies for a month or two? Faith rests upon God's promises. All the promises of God that we just announced, that little booklet, I say it's not a little book, by Brother Herbert Lockyer. All the promises of God. And if you'd like, I'll send you a catalog to our Radio Bible and Book Room. But that book is $14, and I'll make you this offer. You buy it. And if you don't appreciate it, let me know, and I'll send you money back. You can keep the book. But listen, we have an illustration of the power of faith. On the one hand, the children of Israel marching through the Red Sea. They went by faith. Then we have the power of unbelief and the sin of presumption on the other hand, which ended that long controversy between the children of God and the Egyptian. One day, the controversy or the contest between the church and the world will come to an end. All of the agnostics and atheists and skeptics, but listen, the complete salvation of the saints and other destructions of the world is coming one of these days, my friend. I don't believe it's going to be long, do you? The Old Trailblazer made this statement many times. I believe I'll be here when the Lord comes. You say, you old fool. That's right, I'm a fool. Let me be a fool for Christ's sake. But to what I see going on in the world today, reading God's Word, knowing a little bit of God's Word, and I believe I'll be here when the Lord comes. I just believe I will. But if I don't, that's God's will. Well, listen, the complete salvation of the saints and other destruction of the world is soon coming. Brother, it's coming. Egypt represents the world. And there the contest went on 200 or 300 years between the Egyptians and the children of Israel, God's people. But it came to an end that day. Going to come to an end here, one of these days. And they can go on, say what they want to, say that God is dead, say I won't have it, say it foo-foo. But listen, you tell me that you're concerned about your soul, I plead with you. Turn to the Lord, my friend. Brother, turn to the Lord. Sister, turn to the Lord. I plead with you to turn to the Lord. Children, you young children who hear the Old Trailblazer, I plead with you to turn to Christ and walk with him. Oh, what a day that would be. Now, let's notice the spiritual aspect of this scene, this picture. And you will find it expressed in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. Listen, Apostle Paul writing, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And that's a marvelous scripture, isn't it? Let me read it again. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. All were baptized unto Moses in the cloud, in the sea. And isn't that a marvelous thing? It's a marvelous scripture. Let's look at it. Moses, with the children of Israel, had the command of God for his warrant, and the promises of God for his security, for their security. Therefore, they were able to overcome all fears and all dangers. Isn't that a great day in the life of God? You know, we're so fearful. I'm fearful. I'm a fearful person, but I ought not to be. You ought not to be, my friend. I told you about the verse the Lord gave me when he brought me into this work here. He said, certainly I'll be with you. And I have that hanging on my wall in my office, and I look at it day after day, come in out in the morning, I look at it, go out and eat, and I look at it. Certainly I'll be with you. And he has proven to be true to the old trailblazer, just as true as he can be, my friend. Moses was the leader. He was a type of Christ. God led them through the sea by the right hand of Moses. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to sit up there in your chair and listen. Will you do it? God confirmed the ministry of Moses by this miracle. Now, I want you to see this. God confirmed the ministry of Moses by this miracle so that the Hebrews were made to take him for their leader. They accepted him as their leader and their lawgiver. In like manner, miracles were wrought by the Lord Jesus Christ to assure us that he was sent by God as our lawgiver, and we must hear and obey him. The scripture says they were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea. Now what happened? That sea divided. There was the grave. The water didn't just let it run down. He divided it. How wide? I don't know. The scripture doesn't say. It was large enough, wide enough, long enough to take care of 3 million Jews. And when they had marched into that sea on dry ground, that cloud came and hovered over them and concealed them in the grave. Now, isn't that a great picture? Concealed in the grave. I know I have folks who make fun of that. They say, well, the water was just shallow water there anyhow, and they just waded on across it. No, it wasn't no such a thing. The water stood back. The water stood back, my friend. It stood back where they could walk through on dry ground. Now, the Egyptian army ran up to the shore, and they couldn't see anything because they were hidden by the cloud. They were baptized in the cloud and in the sea means that the cloud covered them. They were buried. They were buried in that sea and in that grave. This was a sign that they had given themselves up unto his direction. The scripture, baptism, listen, true scripture baptism, get it now, is a sign or a picture of a symbol that the believer has given himself up completely to the leadership and direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brother, that's what baptism means to God's child. Listen, that's what it meant to me. And that's what it means to every born-again believer. You walk down into the baptismal pool, it means you've given yourself up wholly, solely, completely unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The children of Israel, passing through the sea, a watery grave with a cloud covering them, was a picture of being buried with Christ in baptism, a complete separation from Egypt and from the world. They could never return to Egypt, actually. In actuality, they could never return. Now, brother, when you once are baptized in Christ by the Spirit, and then baptized in that watery grave, it means you're separated from the world. It means something, my friend. I know that it's a gracious ordinance. I know that. And people have run it down, and we have individuals who say, well, you got to be baptized to be saved. No, you don't have to, my friend. No, you don't. We could take a stand right there, couldn't we? But listen, when once you were baptized in Christ by the Spirit, and then baptized in the watery grave, it means you're separated from the world. In actuality, you can never return to the world if you're saved. You can't do it. I stake my eternal destiny on that statement. It's just you can't go back. I was telling someone last night in our service, I have no desire to go back. Do you have a desire? Do you long like the Hebrews did over there in the wilderness? They said, would God we was back in Egypt where the leeks and the garlics and the cucumbers were? Would God, have you, or do you do that, my friend? If you do, you're not saved. No, but listen, you can't do it. The children of God sometimes are called to face many trials, great trials. A Red Sea of difficulty confronts many a saint. That's right. Now, born again Christians may go for days before they're permitted to encounter Satan. Now, you get this truth, or to have a fight with canceled sin, or the old nature. Do you have any trouble with Satan, my friend? Oh, Brother Spurgeon said he met a friend one day on the street, and he said, "Say, friend, how you and Satan getting along? He bothering you?" "Oh, no, I hadn't had any trouble with Satan in 40 years. Brother Spurgeon hung his head and walked on down, knowing that if a Christian, God's child, if you're not bothered by Satan, you better look around. You may not be saved, because Satan doesn't bother you if you're not saved. No, he'll leave you alone. Oh, listen, I know it's oftentimes the Lord gives you a reprieve when he saves you. It may be go two or three, several months, and you don't have any problem. He's just giving you a chance like a newborn baby. When a newborn is brought into this world, he doesn't have to fight the battles. No, he's pampered and petted and powdered and all of those things, just like a child. But listen, these Hebrews were out of Egypt, and they had trials along the way. So the saints are many times met by Satan himself. Let's just take a breather there. Oh, but listen, Satan is a defeated foe. But are you catering to him, my friend? The Bible says resist him and he'll flee from you. There's so much truth there that we could spend a whole hour there if we had one to just mention the snares of Satan. Do you know Satan is a living, real, breathing, real individual? He was the highest angel created in heaven. And until he fell, he led the worship of the angels there. And now he's alive and well. And he hates God's people. He hates God's word. He hates God's child. He hates this broadcast. The old trailblazer does everything in the world to thwart the broadcast from going out. It's only by the grace of God that restrains him in your life and in mine that we might prosper and go forward. But the Lord is able. That's the gracious part, that the Lord is able. Well, we spoke last night in the meeting here in the service about being kept. We are kept, my friend. Kept. We have to be kept. The Lord just didn't save us and turn us loose out there on the pasture like you would a yearling calf. No, sir. He keeps us. He takes care of us day in and day out. And we can look up to the Lord and say, "Thank you, Lord." Do you ever thank the Lord? The old trailblazer don't have much sense. But I do know one thing, my friend. We are an unthankful nation. Our nation is unthankful, unholy, ungodly. Oh, they say we're a Christian nation. No, we're not. We're not a Christian nation. We are an ungodly nation because we have thrown away, cast off the grace of God in our lives. And I know folks will disagree with that. I know that. Folks will write to me and give me a scraping. But my friend, are you saved? Can I just ask you before we go off the air, are you saved? Can you look up and say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving an old sinner like me"? Can you? That's a good question, isn't it? The old trailblazer can. I can tell you the Lord saved me and gave me grace to come here and bring you these messages. I'm not very smart, you know that. And he just lays on my heart what to bring you and tell you how Christ died for sinners. You know, the only message I have is that man is a sinner by nature, and Christ died for sinners. That's the greatest thing in the world, my friend, just to realize. And you know what salvation is? Trust in the Lord. Just trust in the Lord day by day, clinging to him. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. I wish you'd write me. My mailing address is Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Goodbye.